Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards. Missed you last week, Ed.
I missed you, too.
Yeah? What were you doing?
You were
on the air.
Yeah, we were on the air. You were just struggling down through the gray south, just trying to spread the word.
We have been traveling a lot. Ed and I were in Louisville last week. That was fun.
Bourbon country. Turns out Ken can't drink bourbon.
Ugh, gross. Yeah. Well, I could, but yeah. I would not stop.
Right.
I have no off switch.
Well, you know, man's got to know his weaknesses.
That's true. So anyway, a lot of traveling. Phil is traveling today as well.
He's not here. I think he's on his Phil Davidson one-man comedy tour.
And what is he hearing?
Just kidding, Phil.
Just kidding, Phil. So we have a big show today. We have Ron Whittingham from Megan Financial coming on to talk about some financial literacy and maybe some prognostication.
Yeah, give some guidance with the new administration.
Yeah,
Nobody knows what to do. Everybody wants to make as much money off the markets and everything as possible. So Ron's going to give some tips on how to approach all of this.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then we have a massive win, and that is the Tribune Guild, right? They had a Tribune News Guild that got a contract after 6 years.
Yeah, and we've covered this since the show's been on the air. But for 6 years, the Tribune employees have been fighting Alden Global Capital for their first contract, and they got a deal over the past week. So we're going to have
Chicago Tribune.
Yep, the Chicago Tribune. So we're going to have Jake Sheridan come in. He's one of the City Hall reporters from the Tribune, and he'll tell us kind of what the fight was all about and what they wound up getting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Tribune has been around for 150 years.
You know, and it's crazy. As you've said, you don't see a whole lot of unionization or wage growth or things like that in the newspaper industry.
Right. You don't see a lot of newspaper industry.
So, yeah, well, seeing these folks fight it out for 6 years and not lose faith and come back with a good deal, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to see some wins. And speaking of wins, there was an article just yesterday, I think, or today, about the bricklayers. So the bricklayers of the Union Proud Warrior guys.
Right.
Those are the bricklayers, yep. And so their district council one, I think, is how they call themselves. They got a $550,000 settlement through our great attorney general, Kwame Raoul, against two companies in Glenview for misclassification, OT, things like that. So once again, you know, this is part and parcel of what unions do. And I'm not sure how many of them are bricklayers, to be blunt with you.
Right.
I don't even know if that all of them are.
Right.
It didn't say, but, you know, they're the ones that got it started. They got all the evidence. And these worker bees are getting over $500,000 in back pay.
I think it's a really, really smart sort of farsighted approach, because if there are contractors out there that are paying people under the table, like below minimum wage, or just, you know, really, really rock bottom wages, it drives down everybody's
wages. Right.
So if you can identify those contractors, point out to the government that they're breaking the law, stealing from taxpayers, stealing and just, you know, performing shoddy construction, it raises the level for everybody.
Right. Not paying into taxes, not paying into local taxes, not paying into Social Security, right? Like all the things that they should be doing. You know, don't try and cheat the system, pay cash, or at least don't do it here in Chicago, because we're going to catch you.
Right. We actually care about that here in Illinois.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, you know, kudos to them. And we have a really good, you know, he's been on our show before.
Yep. Kwame Raoul, the Attorney General.
Like, he's a really good Attorney General. Like, you know, he's actually, you know, not looking the other way, not going, oh my God, this is going to be tough. He actually has a whole division that handles these type of cases, and he's been really successful.
I mean, I think that he approaches this not in his whole job, really, less as a politician and more as, what can I do to help people?
Right.
And
that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, doing things like this, you don't see this in many other states.
Well, look, and I think you're right about that. It's unique in that you have labor working hand in hand with government and politicians, if you will, to take care of either union members, non-union members, whatever the case may be. And you know, working together, as opposed to, let's say you're in Florida and they're just pounding the unions and trying to push the unions out of existence, you know, or what was that lady, Nikki Haley, like, we don't want any unions down here.
Yeah.
You know, that's the opposite here. And by the way, that's the way it should be, right? Unions work in tandem with government to make sure that, you know, everybody's playing by the same rules.
Yeah.
Because if you get to pay, like you said, Ed, or you always say, if you get to undercut everything, well, then you're getting jobs, right, that should be going to, you know, normal good contractors, people that are playing by the rules. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, kudos to those guys for doing it. And then one more thing, speaking of actually Kentucky, where we just were, UAW has said that they have – I think they call it like a super majority of cards. I'm not sure what that means, but I think it's like a 70 plus percent card signed at the Blue Oval 5K plant or something like that.
It's a battery factory for EVs down in Kentucky. It's a joint venture with, I can't remember the name of the company. But
it's Ford is one.
Right. Yeah. So a lot of them, it's like GM's got one with LG up in Indiana.
Got it.
So the automakers are partnering with these electronic giant companies to make batteries for EVs. And we were just down in Louisville, and this is what people were talking about. This is an enormous, enormous source of jobs.
Yeah, it's great. And so hopefully, you know, they vote the right way.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. I'm not sure when the vote is going to be, but, you know, it's once again the UAW making inroads into the South.
Yeah.
And you know what? We were in Louisville. I got to be honest with you. We were meeting with the plumbers, right? Mm-hmm. UA. And so they're coming on board with the coalition, local 502 down there. And they were just great, right? Yeah. Really, really good, solid people.
I like Louisville, and I like Kentucky.
I didn't realize how strong a union town Louisville was.
Yeah.
And it turns out it is.
It really is.
It really is, right? And even though, you know, a couple of years ago, of course, they went right to work. Mm-hmm. Senate Bill 1, you know, as soon as they take over. But they're still, you know, they're whatever. They said it hasn't affected them, and they're, you know, strong fighting. So that was really cool. I hope the UAW does well down there. So we got to take a quick break, right? And then we're going to come back. We're going to talk to Ron Whittingham first. Then we're going to talk to Jake Sheridan from the Trib. And then we're going to wrap it up with some big news about next week.
That's right.
Yes? All right. We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, and as we stated at the top of the hour, we're super stoked to have, I guess you're probably our main sponsor, right? Like, right. The biggest sponsor that we have is Megan Financial, correct?
Yeah.
And Ron Whittingham, owner of Megan Financial, welcome.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Always good to have you in.
Yeah, really, really good to have you. And, you know, obviously, we have a change coming in administration. And we were talking off the air a little bit. You know, what do you think? Everybody, of course, is got their crystal ball out and is trying to figure out, like, what does this change in administration mean for me? Republicans have control of, you know, all three branches of government. What does that mean for me financially? Should I put all my money in the stock market? Should I take it all out and put it in cash? Like, what should I do? What are your thoughts on that, Ron?
Neither. You'd want to do neither.
Okay, fair enough. Good.
So, yeah, you don't want to have all of your stuff in one place. And, you know, it's funny, fellas, that, you know, after the election, you know, the final results came out. You know, I had half of my clients voting for Trump, and all of them want 100% of their money in the market.
Right.
Everybody who voted for Kamala is freaking out and wants to put all their money in, like, gold or their mattress.
Under the mattress.
Yeah, exactly. They just want it out. And, you know, the answer is, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you have a moderate portfolio. It can be, you could be less aggressive or more conservative based upon what you think is going to happen. But moderation is the big thing. And, you know, the one thing the markets don't like is uncertainty.
Right.
And, you know, Donald Trump is probably the definition of uncertainty. I mean, I don't know if you remember the last, his last term.
I don't remember it.
he'd tweet things at 4 a.m. like, you know, I'm going to throw all these tariffs on China and the market, you know, will open up down 5%. Yeah. It always bounced back. But I think you're going to see a lot of that volatility.
No question about it.
Right.
Enter back into our world.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. So basically, and I think you're right, is like, I tell people the same thing, right? In my family, oh my God, you're panicking. Everybody's in panic mode right now. Like, we got to move, or we got to take all our money and put it in, you know, like you said, in gold or under the mattress. I think if you just take the long view, hopefully, right? If the country doesn't go completely under, which I don't think it will, you take the long view and say, then I'm just going to what do they call it? Dollar cost averaging?
Yeah. Right?
What does that mean? Explain that, Ron.
I mean, that's taking fresh money that's not in the market, and you're putting it into the market over time. So
got it.
Every month, putting money in, just kind of like your 401k plan. If you're working your annuity, if you're a union fella, mm-hmm. every hour you're putting money in. So the markets are going to be volatile. You're going to buy prices here. You're going to buy prices or buy stocks when they're lower.
Right.
So over time, you know, it's science that it actually works out better for you.
Yeah, I think they used to say that if you take any 10-year period post Great Depression and you annualize the returns over any 10-year period, they averaged out to like 5 or 6%.
So I thought it was 9.
Yeah, I think a moderate portfolio is probably the 5-6%.
Okay.
I think the market as a whole is probably somewhere north of 8%.
Okay.
You know, there's a few exceptions, obviously, 2000 to 2010 with 08 in there.
Right.
But I would say 95% of the time, that's what happens.
You know, they said if Donald Trump had taken his initial cash that he got from his father and just put it in the market, didn't do a single thing, he'd have twice as much money as he has now.
Yeah, but what fun would that be? There'd be no cameras taking pictures of the gold toilet.
So back to Ron. Right now, you just gave us an interesting stat for union members. Now, I'm talking about, you know, building trades here, you know, Chicagoland, and you know, we're certainly blessed and I think, you know, unique. But you gave me a startling number of the amount of money that is being put away for people. What is that?
It depends on the union.
Okay.
But specifically for Local 150 members, mm-hmm. it's for the highway fellows, it's over $23 an hour. Every hour for a journeyman is putting that amount of money away for retirement.
And it's not coming out of their wages, not a cent out of their wages.
It's all on top. I mean, it's over, you know, almost a quarter of their whole wage package is being set away for retirement.
And how much, what, like the dollar amount? What is it?
It's over $23 an hour.
Holy cow.
Yeah, how about it?
So and they never see that money. It just is automatically taken and put away from them.
Yeah, it's a good thing and a bad thing because it is done. It's forced.
Yeah,
they can't borrow from it. It's done for them.
Right.
But when they do it that way, the members really don't have a working knowledge on the impact of that money. It's mind-boggling. You know, we see people 2-3 years out of retirement mm-hmm. have no idea what that income is going to look like. And they've been in the union or in the trade for 30 plus years.
Right.
This has been done for them. I mean, if my spouse was allocating 25% of my pay and putting away for somewhere, you'd want to know about that, right?
Sure.
Is she spending it? Is she saving it?
I actually
of your pay.
I think right. I think she is. You just don't know about it.
Yeah. I think mine spends it on Amazon. Yeah.
So, you know, this goes back to financial literacy, right? And us, you know, having you as one of our sponsors of the show, obviously, and then having Megan Financial as basically the main financial planner that we use for the coalition, is going around the country and teaching people, hey, this is what your pension means. This is what an annuity looks like. This is what you should save for, retiree health insurance, for example, and teaching people, like, what does it mean? What's it worth? When you can retire, right? All those kind of things. Our members, and quite frankly, the middle class, they don't know. And they don't know what they don't know, right? We just go on our merry way and, you know, we try and, you know, like Ed, you gave a great example earlier. Remember the fight for 15?
Yeah.
Right? People were fighting.
On the streets 15, with signs, yeah.
$15 wage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you know, McDonald's is paying 18 bucks.
Right.
Our guys are getting
$23 an hour just toward retirement.
Not on the wage.
Right. This is just toward retirement.
Yeah. So you want to talk about a benefit of being a union member versus yeah. not a union member. There it is. It's pretty simple.
It's amazing. And, you know, I have my oldest son is in college. And, you know, if he decided to not do college and go into the trades, he'd
right.
actually get paid
yeah.
as an apprentice. And as he's an apprentice, he's saving for retirement.
Right.
I mean, it's
day one.
It's a game changer.
Give the car example.
Well, you know, I always use this example that these unions are building this, we'll just call it a Ferrari. I mean,
could you use an American car?
Let's do like a really nice Corvette.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really fancy Corvette.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thanks.
And so they're doing this for the member
mm-hmm.
and on their behalf. They don't have any working knowledge on how it's being built or how to drive it or anything like that. But the disconnect is when the member retires, the union has a fiduciary liability to give them advice. So what they do is they hand him the keys to this car.
Right.
With no knowledge.
Yeah, they don't know like what button does what, or you know, how to use it, or what kind of gas to put in it, or whatever. And that's where you come in, correct?
And that's what we do. Okay. So not only at retirement, so we, you know, we don't drive the car for him or keep it. But you know, we're sitting there in the passenger seat and make sure they don't drive off the cliff with it.
Sure.
But as they should understand what those benefits are while they're working. I mean, we do, you know, free pension reviews. So any member of a union for the MCL can call us, and we'll go over your benefits regardless of your age. And you should know about this stuff.
You should know about it. Of course you should. Because people always say, you know, you hear this constantly. Well, you know, what's the union doing for me? They're just taking my dues. You're like, wait a second, your dues versus the $23 an hour that they got the contractor to pay on your behalf. You do the math. I'm pretty sure you're coming out money ahead.
And when we have parties at Local 150 for, you know, gold card members and for people who have been members for 45, 50 years, who are a few years or deep into retirement, and you don't ever hear any lack of gratitude out of those members. Those members are just like, this is the greatest thing I ever did. I have a great retirement. I don't have to worry about anything.
Right.
Like, stick with it, everybody.
And and you know, not for doom and gloom, but, you know, we have to make sure that the labor movement maintains its status, maintains its robustness, has to go out and organize, and whatever attacks are coming our way, because I think they are, remember, you know, your pension, right? Now I'm talking to pensioners or people that are getting close to retirement. Your pension literally relies on people coming in behind you, right?
For sure, yeah.
So no new members, no money, no pension.
Yeah.
It's just kind of that simple, right? So we all have a vested interest, doesn't matter how you voted, in keeping the union movement alive, strong, flourishing, going out and organizing, right? Because you have to, it's like anything else, right? It's like Social Security. You have to have new money coming in to pay for people that are already retired or getting ready to retire. What about Social Security, Ron? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to change anything.
You don't think so?
You know, if they do something, it'll be, you know, for some of the younger folks, they're going to have to wait later in life to get it.
Right.
But they can't change that. It just won't happen. I mean, like you said, Ken, I mean, all politicians, I don't understand why they don't support the unions.
Yeah.
Because the unions are creating a giant, mass affluent middle class that are not going to be reliant only on Social Security.
That's right.
Like the rest of us.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you support that? They're not. You don't have to worry about them.
Well, because that cuts into big business's bottom line. That's why.
Yeah.
I think they're doing fine, though, too. I mean,
there's no question about that. They're building rocket ships.
Yeah, I think they're okay. They're building rocket ships a little bit back.
Yeah, and simultaneously saying that the National Labor Relations Board is unconstitutional. Yeah. Like, come on, man. It's like, just focus on your rocket ship, right? Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, you know, look, for those of you that are just tuning in, we're talking to Ron Windenham from Megan Financial. For people that are members of the coalition, they provide this massive service of explaining to you what you have, when you can retire, giving you advice on, you know, should I buy a house? Should I start a 529 plan for my kid? Anything that you have a question of for or about in terms of finances, they can answer that question. And they're fiduciaries, right?
Yes, sir.
A lot of people will call the union and say, hey, what should I do in regards to this? The union, technically, or the health and welfare fund or the pension fund, actually can't give financial advice, right? Because they're not fiduciaries.
Mm-hmm.
Ron and company can, and you guys do, obviously, all the time. For people that are not in the union, though, Ron, like, will you talk to somebody that's not in the union and say, like, hey, this is what, you know, what you can and can't do, or will you open up an account for them, or if they want to move their 401k to you, like, do you do some of that as well?
Yeah, we do. I mean, I would say the vast majority of our clients are in the trades at some level, but we certainly help people who aren't. I mean, the thing of it is, it's more of a heavy lift because they have to build that Corvette, right?
Yeah.
On their own.
Yeah.
So they have to do something outside of what they're currently doing to create that benefit.
Right.
So, yeah, we can certainly help out.
So, and if people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
So, phone number, 708-444-1090.
708-444-1090.
Yep. Or they can visit us. We have a website, www.megent.com.
Megent.
Megent. .com.
Everybody butchers that name.
Megent. Megent.
Megent, yeah.
Ninjas. You know, but we're told that it's not a word, so it's a good name. I don't know.
I like it.
How'd you come up with it?
I didn't.
Listen, we've been talking to Ron Whittingham from Megan Financial. We appreciate it. We will be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. We have a really special guest today.
Yeah.
He's on the phone because he's busy.
He's very busy.
Yeah, not everybody can come in on a Sunday morning. But it's big news here in Chicagoland, and quite frankly, it should be big news around the country. And so we have Jake Sheridan. And Jake, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And Jake is a reporter. Mm-hmm. He's what's called the City Hall reporter,
right,
for the Chicago Tribune. Mm-hmm. How long has the Trib been in existence? 100-plus years?
Gosh, I don't even know.
Jake, how long has the Trib been
around? Long time. I think around, 150, something like that?
Holy cow, right?
Quite a while.
Yeah. So 6 years ago, the Trib, were they bought out? When did Alden Capital buy them?
I think it was 6 years ago.
Yeah, and Alden Capital is a venture capital company, and they are affectionately known as newspaper killers.
I think the reputation is sort of they buy up newspapers, slash half of the newsroom, and just squeeze profit as much as possible out of it. So it was something I remember. It was big news when they bought the Tribune, and the Tribune workers, of course, did what you do. You organize.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us about that. So, Jake, you came on board just a few years ago, correct?
That's true. Yeah, I came on board about 2 years ago. So about a year after Alden finished their takeover, they had bought stake in the company a couple years before that. But, you know, we've had a lot of owners who, don't necessarily want to grow the newsroom and pay workers more.
Sure.
To say the least. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know of any owners that want to grow and pay more.
I mean, there was Sam Zell for a while.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your background real quick.
I came to the newspaper about 2 years ago. Before that, I was working at a bunch of different newspapers as an intern, and, I was in school.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to school?
Duke University in North Carolina. So
never heard of it.
And that's where I'm from. Got a little basketball team.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
They're
no U of I.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sure. But I came to the Trib as an intern. Was so lucky to get a job a couple months into that, and I've been pretty involved in our guild ever since. For us as a younger person in this industry, getting a job is near impossible for a lot of young journalists.
When you do get a job,
the pay is low. The benefits are usually not great, and
right,
your stability is non-existent in your workplace. You know, a lot of the folks I know who I went to school with or interned with, they've already been laid off at different jobs, and some of them have found other jobs. But it's a really tough industry for workers, and I think that because that's the only way we've ever seen this industry exist. We're not in the heyday, we're not at the tower anymore,
right?
We know how important it is to organize and to make sure that that we insist on getting protection, that we create rights for ourselves in the workplace.
I remember I want to say, so for those of you out there that don't know, I used to work for the Chicago Newspaper Guild, which is now, I think it's called the News Guild, no more newspaper, which makes sense. And I think since then they have merged with the Communication Workers of America.
Mm-hmm.
On a national level. But that was like one of my first jobs right out of law mm-hmm. school. I was a general counsel. And this was 1996-ish, somewhere in that ballpark. When I think Jake was just being born.
Probably about that time.
-3
Wow.
Ouch.
You just heard him, Jake.
Yeah.
I can see it in his face.
But I left, and look, I cut my teeth there. Fine, whatever. I got to litigate, negotiate, and do lots of cool stuff. I argued before the Seventh Circuit. Like, it was really, really fun. It was trial by fire. I was the only attorney right out of law school. But they didn't organize, and it bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
It really bothered me. And so when I got the opportunity to go to 150 of the operators, which was nonstop organizing all the time, obviously I jumped at that, chance on it. I never looked back. But since then, you guys have sort of changed your model. And you said earlier, while we were off the air, that it's a worker-led or member-led union now. Explain, what does that mean?
Yeah, I think for us, it's really important for us to kind of control our own destiny and to have stake in this ourselves. So for our guild at the Trib, you know, our members are the ones that are sitting across from the company's representatives and bargaining.
Yes.
Our members are the ones who are organizing. We had the first newspaper strike in decades.
Yeah.
We worked together with a couple other Tribune-owned locals to do that. And that was us. You know, every little action we take, whether it's a march on the boss or whatever, it really stems primarily from our members. And, you know, I do want to give credit to the local as well, the Chicago News Guild, for supporting us. Mm-hmm. Too. You know, they're professional organizers. Especially Emily Steelhammer, she was just so critical to us kind of getting enough momentum to bring this home after 6 years. So, no doubt they helped as well. But being member-led allows us to feel a sense of pride and ownership that is absolutely necessary to do the big, brave things that we have to do to win a contract.
And you also get to see the hard work that goes into it. Like, every employee is able to see what it's like at the bargaining table and how hard this fight is, and that, you know, getting a 1% or 2% or whatever raise is not easily done no matter what.
People think it's easy.
Yeah.
It's not
easy. What do we get this year? That's not enough.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So you guys actually were negotiating at the table. And so you came in a couple of years ago, and now you're actually the chair of the local, or
the chair of the unit.
Chair of the unit. Sorry.
Chair of our guild. So yeah, chair of the Tribune.
How many members?
At the Sun-Times is the locals. It fluctuates every now and then, but 78 right now members.
Okay. And so, So you guys finally brought home a contract, and this is probably, you know, you don't see a lot of new union contracts in the newspaper industry.
No,
right? It sort of seems like it's going the opposite direction. Newspapers folding, consolidation, et cetera. Social media taking over for newspapers. So you guys brought home a contract. Tell us a little bit about the contract.
Yeah, we feel really confident that this is the best contract that's ever been won against Alden Global Capital. And Alden owns, you know, I think dozens of newspapers across the country, and they have for some time. You know, they're not a particularly new owner.
Right.
And I think last time I checked, they were the second biggest newspaper owner, or had the second most of any newspaper owner.
Wow.
I didn't know that. Who's the first? Hearst or somebody?
I think it's Gannett, but okay, Gannett.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
We got a lot of stuff in this. We got raises. We got 3% raise in the first and in the second year, which is the first back-to-back raise that literally anyone at the newspaper can remember for the entire newsroom. We have people who have been at this newspaper 30 or 40 years, you know, in the heyday, and they could not remember the last thing that happened. So,
and nobody's really had raises in the last 6 years, is that right? Over the course of negotiations, there haven't been any raises.
There have been a handful of merit raises if someone's, you know, gets another job offer to retain someone, but outside of that, really there have not been many raises at all. No.
And what about AI protection and stuff like that? Talk about that.
We want some pretty sweeping AI language that's going to give us, you know, control over if AI is implemented into the newsroom, how it gets implemented. I think that's something I'm really proud of, because, you know, at the bargaining table, the company had said, you know, I kind of hinted that, you know, we want to reserve the right to use AI. You know, I don't really know if AI is ready for that right now, but you know what, as workers looking into the future, that's a protection that we absolutely need to have in our industry.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Technology moves fast.
Wholeheartedly, yeah, so
it's
right? It's the same, like,
that language now.
Good for you. And that it's refreshing to see somebody actually look ahead, right? Like the writers. Yeah. The writers, right? What? They should have realized this.
Yeah.
The screenwriters or whatever they are, right? They should have been talking about this for quite some time, and I think they were a little late to the game. But they got,
and they had to fight hard to just get that protection.
Yeah, massive strike. Yeah. Right, that was their number one issue. I think
it was.
This is the first AI language that Alden's ever agreed to. Also,
it had to kill them to do this. So, I got to say, like a business model where you slash half the newsroom and just try to like you know, crank out as much stuff as possible, it would seem like AI would be a godsend for them. So it had to kill them to have to agree to this.
You mean we have to keep we have to keep workers?
Right. Yeah. Right.
So that's a good for you. Yeah, and so I assume you got just cause and a grievance procedure and all that other kind of good stuff as well.
Yeah,
correct?
You know, there's a lot of other good stuff in here. This, you know, they tried to take away our 401ks also. They took away the 401ks of the non-unionized editors.
Really?
And we kept that too. I mean, that's the 401k match trust is, you know, a lot of people, it's 4% of your salary.
Yeah. Right?
So, you know, when we started this, the big concern was that we would go, that all them would come in and we were just fighting to even stay neutral or to, you know, have as few losses as possible.
Right. Like knock money backwards, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have good seniority language.
Yep.
You know, we raised our minimums up quite a bit. You know, I think like even $7,000 or so from where they were, the salary floor. So, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in here. You know, it's our first contract.
Sure.
And so, you know, there's stuff that we need to keep fighting for, but we're really proud to have one.
Well, congratulations to you guys. I mean, super lengthy fight, right?
Yeah.
Like we had somebody from your group on. I think he's the film guy, if I'm
right.
mistaken,
right,
like about a year ago, right? And at that point, it seemed like nothing was happening.
Yeah, it was very difficult.
So good for you guys for doing that.
We climbed that contract mountain in the last year and a half. You know, we've always had this insight. You know, how do we get to this point? And,
right.
Yeah, you know, you probably talked to him around that rally that we had last year
in front of
Tribune Tower.
We were out there.
Yep.
And before that, you know, after that, we had, you know, that one day strike at the Freedom Center where the newspaper used to be printed until this summer.
I remember.
And, you know, we had in mind, you know, we were gearing up to be ready to strike longer if we needed to. And so, you know, we've always been looking ahead. There's so much credit needs to be given to, you know, so many people in our newsroom banded together. And, you know, we really couldn't have gotten better engagement and better support from, you know, our newsroom and our members. It really was kind of everyone coming together the whole time and everyone carrying weight, you know, leading the union one year, being on the cat team this year, being a steward. So
right.
it was really a huge team effort.
That's really, really cool. And what was the vote like on the contract?
It was near unanimous. You know, there's a couple people who, you know, for different fair reasons, you know, voted against it.
Uh-huh.
A handful.
I
think it was like 74-4, but
that's,
you know,
well, that's really good, because usually 20% of people vote against everything.
You'll always get somebody who will vote against, you know, America, apple pie, baseball,
whatever. You got me $100, I want 101.
Yeah. Respect for those people.
Yeah.
Some of those people wanted us to keep pushing, and I respect that, but mm-hmm. I also, you know, I believed it was, and our members and our bargaining team, I think, I personally think it was time to bring it home. So.
Well, six years, I'd say that's probably a smart play. And look, I you know, when I negotiated contracts for 150, like you, I would have my members at the table, right? Very important for us in my sector, which was public sector, to have them be able to hear directly from the company or the employer what was said, what they felt about them, right? You know, every once in a blue moon, it would be, you know, you can be replaced by a shovel, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
And that, I mean,
they need to hear it. They need to know that's what you're up against.
Yeah, because if it's one step removed, like you come back and say, oh, they told me, they said this. But to hear it right from your boss's mouth is a different animal. And
yeah.
I think it helps to build solidarity. And then, you know, getting the first contract, you know, same. Like I've fought, I think the longest I fought was 4 or 5 years to get a first contract.
Yeah. Got your beat.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yes. Congratulations. And so, but you want to build that first contract. I've always told people, like, look, we're going to try and get the world here, but we're not going to. We're not going to eat the whole apple in one bite, but like a house, we're going to build a good foundation. And from there, second contract, third contract, fourth contract, you know, you look back now 25 years, I'm glad that we put the time and effort in to get that first good contract that has the foundation, like you just said, Jake, you know, seniority, grievance procedure, you know, protect, like look at some things looking forward.
Yeah.
That's going to pay dividends, because the next time you go to the table, you'll only have to deal with five issues, 10 issues, you know, whatever it is. Not, of course, they're going to try and gut the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Let's take out this overtime.
We'll be ready.
Yeah, you will be ready. Good for you. And so when does the contract expire?
So it's a pretty short contract. You know, it's a 2-year contract. We're back at the table probably in about a year and a half. But
that should be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, look at you. You're a young guy. You're the unit chair. You've got a long career ahead of you, and you're a labor leader with a successful negotiation against a massive, you know, difficult company again, you know, on under your belt. So you're going to bring a team back, and I'm excited to see what you do in 2 years and what you're able to bring back.
I appreciate that. Yeah, we're excited to you know, to keep organizing and to, you know, to keep trying to protect the work that we all believe in so much. You know, I always tell people, you know, I don't think anyone comes into this newspaper industry, especially local newspapers, expecting to get rich.
Right.
You know, we do it because we love it. We do it because we love people. We love this city.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just want to be able to, you know, have a family someday or,
pay the rents, pay the bills, right?
Yeah. Peace of mind,
sure.
Pay the bills, get groceries.
Yeah.
That's it. And we want to have basic stability in our workplace. And we understand how precarious this industry is. And we know some of that is the world changing. But we also know that newspapers aren't just dying. Sometimes they're being killed. And you know, we absolutely refuse to let that happen. We're not going to go down with the ship. We're going to fight.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, Jake, but a few years ago, during the Rauner administration, a bunch of unions got together and bought the Sun-Times.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, it was about to be a one-paper town, which was just going to be the Trib. This is pre-you guys organizing. And the Trib at that point, I think it was pre-Alden, if I'm not mistaken, as well, had a pretty right-side bent. And so a bunch of unions got together and bought the Sun-Times to make sure that we maintained a two-newspaper town, which we thought was important in a city this big. And then eventually, I think we sold it, right?
Yeah, it was bought
by NPR.
Michael Sachs, right? I think, and then it was put into, I think, a trust or a nonprofit with NPR.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, you know, we think that's important. I agree with you. I think that having a, you know, a news crew, right, a news department, you know, people actually reporting on the news, not this nonsense, you know, 2-second bites on TikTok or, you know, getting your news from Instagram or whatever, but having people actually write stories. You know, the Trib just did a story on 150.
That's right.
Yeah.
And yeah, talking about all the different things that it does.
Yeah, it was really, really well done. So, it was cool. So I think it's important. Kudos to you. Kudos to you guys. You know, send congratulations to the entire bargain unit. I think you guys deserve a pat on the back. Not an easy lift of what you just did. And then you'll be back pretty soon. And keep us informed, all right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah, we got your back. We've been talking to Jake Sheridan. He's the unit chair of the Tribune Local of the Chicago News Guild right here on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Massive show today. Two different topics, but both interesting to me and both, you know, work-related, right?
Yeah.
Listen, so we said earlier that we have some news. Next week, we are going to pivot a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have a show that is...
Call-in.
Call-in.
Yeah, so, we want calls, we want emails. This is going to be like a listener appreciation.
What's our email thing?
It is workersmike@wgnradio.com. And we have a sweetener for you. What we're trying to do is find out what you're thankful for.
Yeah.
Whether it has to do with your union, your life, whatever. Send us an email, and if we talk about it on the air, or if you call in, we'll give you a t-shirt.
Yeah, well, let's just talk about like what we are thankful for, because right now the country, I believe, is under a tremendous amount of stress. It just seems like you turn on the news, and everybody's like, oh my God, like everybody's stressed out.
Yeah. But being that it's Thanksgiving,
we
are thankful for you guys.
For sure.
And gals, all the listeners out there. So we want to hear from you.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email, send a text. Drop something on Facebook, call the coalition, 800-433-2099, whatever you want. We got a listener of the week as well, Hal Landis. He is a retired 134 member.
He's a great guy.
Super, super cool dude.
And he listens every week, so we know you're listening.
Yeah, so thanks, and thanks for your support. He's also the head of the Retirees Club, I think, at 134, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
The guy with his finger on the pulse.
That's for sure. Good dude. All right, hey, we got to roll. We'll be back next week with our Thanksgiving show.
Send your emails to workersmike@wgnradio.com.
And we'll read them on the air. Keep it clean.
Please. No, please. Don't. Don't even.
Yeah. Don't keep it clean.
We just won't read the dirty parts.
Fair enough. All right, we'll be back next week with Workers Mike right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers Mike was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.